Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
There are two natural phenomena that we associate with Pentecost, wind and fire. And I brought in this book called A World on Fire, which is also the title of my sermon. And that is because when I began to think about this morning's reading, I was thinking about the element of fire. But as I continued to do my reading in preparation and participated in my weekly sermon seminar, I began to think more about wind. And think about wind and how it moves over you on a nice, breezy day. Today's going to get hot. Tomorrow's going to get hot. You might welcome the wind to cool you off. We know that wind plays a role in Scripture. We hear about in Genesis how the Spirit moved over the waters. We hear about it in Ezekiel when the dry bones are swept over by the winds and then God begins to reanimate them. We hear about the wind in Adam and how God breathes into him and gives Adam life. So we need wind. We need wind in the church. And if I'm going to be claiming all sorts of old catchphrases, I could talk about the wind of change, a new breeze blowing in, and I could think of some others. But I'd like us to think about something else that happens in these passages, and that is how some of the Hebrew Bible is undone. Not set aside, but actually undone. And the part I'm referring to is Genesis 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. And you remember how the oldest people got together and started building a tower because they had delusions of reaching up to heaven and overthrowing God in the heavenly court? And you remember what happened? They were afflicted with multiple languages. Now, I was not alive back then. And I can't testify to the veracity of that story. But that story is one that we can call a myth. A story trying to explain why things were the way they were. And nobody really understood anything about the development of language and human societies and migration and how different languages would grow up over time in different places. But what happened that day, Pentecost, we read in Scripture, was that the wind came down. And then all these people from the four corners of the earth, the Romans, the Parthians, the Medes, the Babylonians, the Jews, all understood one another. Now, God did not impose some kind of etiquette uniformity on humanity that day. Because if God did, it all fell apart. We still speak different languages. But that day, the Holy Spirit came and gave the people something new and special. The Holy Spirit gave them a language with which to understand one another. Now, we don't always want to understand one. In fact, we do a pretty good job of tuning out things we don't like to hear. We do a pretty good job of assigning derogatory labels to arguments we don't like. And we do it in the church as much as we do it out in secular society. And that is not what God wants. God, in the day of Pentecost, brought us unity. And the church has had a really bad habit, as have other religions, of thinking that they will impose the one true faith on others through inquisitions and through conquests. Now think about how absolutely bizarre and counterintuitive that you are going to bring someone over to the weight of the Prince of Peace with a sword. It doesn't work. The ends do not justify the means. The means are important. And so, yes, we in the church are called to love one another. Not always easy to do. But it is what God has called us to do. To love one another. To care about one another. To take care of the prisoner and the hungry and the widow. To take care of all these people that are out there. People from all the corners of the earth. Now, you'll notice that on this hit list of people from the four corners of the earth, it's the Roman world. So, there's no mention of the Chinese. There's no mention of anybody living in India. Nobody in Africa or Mesoamerica. And all of those places are God places. So, yes, I feel like I'm beating on an old worn drum. But it's something the church needs to say over and over and over again. It sounded trite when we heard it back in 1992. But do you remember the whole Rodney King fiasco? Can't we all just get along together? Is it that hard? Really? So the gift of Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And a promise from God that God is with us. Always. God is with us even when we're being jerks. Now that doesn't mean that God forgives our stupidity or our malice. God expects better from us. But God knows we're capable of doing better. So God would have been justified in throwing up his hands and giving up on us many times throughout history. But God doesn't give up on us. God does not give up on us. Ever. God does not give up on you, or you, or you, or me. That's pretty remarkable. And I hope it's something that you find amazing. So you notice that Peter delivers the first sermon in this region. And what does he do? He quotes from the book of Joel. And Luke is showing how the Christian faith is rooted in Judaism and the Jewish faith. There wasn't a desire to wipe out the Jews. There isn't a call to hate the Jews. Jesus never asked anyone to hate the Jews. Jesus was Jewish. And one of the bad tropes in the Christian faith is that we have replaced the law with love. It's not true. Jesus told us he came to fulfill the law, not to overthrow it. The law is a guide to living a good life. And we will pick and choose those things we find to be amenable to our preferences. So if you wanted to look at the Hebrew Bible, there are 613 commandments. That's a lot of commandments, a lot of rules. Maybe too many to think about. So think about the Ten Commandments. They're not suggestions. They're not hints. They're Ten Commandments. we are called as a community to live out the will of God. And yes, we would like more people to be here on Sundays. And it would be great if all the pews were full. But we're not going to go out and threaten people with violence if they don't believe as we do. We're not going to call them benighted or stupid. That is not the way of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. So I'm going to wrap up my message this morning because we did have a long cantata, which was very enjoyable. And I'm going to invite everyone here to meditate on this passage, to think about what we are called to do together as a community. Not just today, not just next week, but throughout the rest of our lives. What do we want First Congregational Church to be known for? Think about that. And then share your ideas with one another. Share them with me. There is a wind blowing, even through these walls. And yes, we've got good windows, and the walls are sturdy, but the wind is blowing. Let's each be touched by the Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the various ways in which you make yourself known. In Jesus' name we pray.